Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, last segment, of course, we're talking about all of the programs, and we're joined by Michelle Rempel-Gardner, who's helping us understand those. And she rightfully said there's so many that, you know, we can't go through it. Her website's got a full list of all these things. That's great.
You know what's been interesting in this whole last week or two is that we've had numerous people ask the finance minister, how much debt do we have? Yep. How are we going to pay for this? Yep. What's the overall risk to the economy? Will we get downgraded in our debt rating? Right. That will raise the interest cost that we have to pay in the future. All these concerns are coming up. So how do we do this?
How do we do that? So we're continuing to be joined by Michelle Rempel-Gardner. She's Member of Parliament, PC Calgary Nose Hill. Michelle, thanks for sticking around. Let's tackle that question a little bit. So, you know, you made the comment on the last segment that we're at the point now where maybe those immediate, that lockdown has accomplished its goal. We got to keep that curve flat, and it's time to start trying to safely reopen the economy. And we're going to do that and get the economy going again, but we're going to be left with a significant amount of debt as a result of the actions taken by the government to support the economy through this. So can you give us a sense, first of all, of where you think the debt stands, you know, from all the various programs? And then let's talk about what do you think needs to be done?
Well, we don't know. That's part of the problem. So Parliament is suspended. And in spite of us asking questions, we haven't been getting any figures from the government. And it's not just us as the opposition reporters aren't getting this either. We have been calling on the government to release these figures. And I'll get to that in a second as to why. But the estimates that we're hearing being floated around from organizations like the Parliamentary Budget Officer is somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 billion or north of that, which is just unprecedented. It's like, to put that in perspective, the massive deficit budget that Trudeau was campaigning on in 2015 was $10 billion. And we haven't been in a particularly good financial position going into this. So there's a lot of discussion about our, you know, our debt servicing, our net debt to GDP, household debt. And the reason why we want to have that this information is, I mean, for anybody who's run a business or even just, you know, running a household, if you're looking for a loan from someone or if we're looking to borrow money, you know, the lender wants to know your capacity to be able to pay it back. Mm-hmm. And without that financial, that fiscal update or a budget being tabled, I mean, just to remind everyone, we didn't have a federal budget tabled this year. It's different. Like, we're now worried about the rates that we're getting for lending because we're not showing this information to people that we or countries that we might be seeking to borrow from. So it's a huge concern. I know it's one. It's just, I'm struggling to find words because of the level of angst it's causing me. But one thing is clear, what we are doing right now with these programs, the wage subsidy, the CERB, these bailouts, they are not sustainable. Like, this cannot be going on. Every month that we do this, we go farther and farther into a hole that I'm not sure we can recover from. And also monetary policy. I mean, like, we're printing a lot of money right now, right, as a country. And that affects things. So it's a big problem, but we need to start with that information first.
Michelle, let's use that number of $250 billion that we're in debt. From your experience through the years you've been in your role, what are some of the tools that government can do to pay down this debt? Because the fear that we hear from our clients, listeners of the show, is that they're going to go after the individuals who've got most of the wealth, which are the retirees. So look at it as anybody over the age of 55 plus. And I keep on saying, well, it's my unborn grandchildren who are going to end up paying for this. So what are the tools and what do you think could happen given your experience in your role?
It's going to be a tough conversation because there's only two ways to balance the budget, right? It's you either increase your revenue or you decrease your expenditures. So the problem is that the government has been steadily increasing operational expenditures or the size of government for the last 5 years, and we haven't been in a balanced budget situation since prior to the election in 2015. So we were already in a situation where we were spending far beyond our means, and now, I mean, it's going to be very difficult. The other thing is, in terms of bringing in revenue, we don't know what the economy looks like, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know what this means for airlines, for commercial real estate, for bricks and mortar retail, for the education sector, the oil and gas industry. All of those are big question marks in terms of who is going to survive coming out of this. And then, again, how those traditional sources of revenue for the government are going to be, if they're going to be available or not. So I think the government has to quickly have a plan to ask this question. What are the essential services Canadians need? How do we prioritize those? And then if we're spending money on things that that aren't must-haves, we have to start addressing that issue pretty quickly. And I think, you know, what worries me is I'm seeing a lot of articles and trial balloons in the last couple of weeks suggesting that some of these benefits, like the CERB, that they be ported into more permanent programs. And I don't know how we pay for that.
So
I don't know.
There's one thing that wasn't mentioned so far is selling assets. You can increase revenue, decrease expense, or sell assets. Other countries around the world who've gone through fiscal problems have sold their nation's assets. Is that one thing that could happen? Is that something the conservatives are willing to look at?
Well, you know, I would put that under raising revenues, right, or increasing revenues. I think that the first thing that's prudent to do is say, what are we spending money on? If you're in a, you know, if you're in a hole with your credit card, the first thing any credit advisor will tell you to do is, what are you spending your money on?
Yeah.
Okay, is there stuff that you shouldn't be spending your money on right now? And we haven't come to that point as a country yet. All we've done is say, let's spend money. To the point where I think spending money just has become a metric for, you know, government success. And I think we need to go back to the basics on that first. I am worried right now about what our country looks like. You know, you're talking about grandchildren. What does it look like in 20 years? And, you know, selling assets or even just looking in the private sector, allowing fire sale assets of some of our strategic industries and our companies and strategic industries across the country, that's highly problematic for future sovereignty and future economic growth. So, I just feel this deep sense of necessity for Parliament to be undertaking these questions in a more serious way than it has in the last 30 years. We really need to have a think about who we are as a country and what our priorities are for government and the public. I mean, anyone listening to this needs to not assume that government is ubiquitous and that they don't have a say. People have to tell the government what they want, and otherwise, we're just going to get continued with the Liberal government that's functioning as a majority with the NDP and the Bloc. We're just going to see increased deficits. I also think that it's possible that we can be in an election sooner than later. We're seeing more articles speculating on that because I think that the financial situation is going to be pretty bad news come next spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, Michelle, let me.
These are questions that people have to be focused on.
Yeah, let me run down that rabbit hole a little bit more about the assets. I mean, Canada's got a double whammy going on. It's not just a coronavirus issue. It's an oil shock. And although maybe most of Canada doesn't believe it's a Canadian issue, it is, and it's certainly an Alberta issue. What's your position, the party's position, on what the Liberals have done to support you know, the resource industry, particularly fossil fuels and oil and gas? Has it been enough, and is there more to come? Where do you guys stand on this?
Well, I think you can't use the word Liberal government and support, or the phrase support the energy sector, in the same sentence. You just can't. I mean, we've seen 5 years of structural policy change to make it harder to invest in the energy sector and to curtail the growth of the sector in Canada writ large. That is just, it's fact. Bill C-69, C-48, has it created investment uncertainty, and you know, the stymieing of the build out of pipelines has also ensured that delta between the price that we get for Canadian energy and the world price continues to be large. So we were in a very bad structural place going into this. Now, with the decrease in demand for energy, which I do think is going to be temporary, but with the Saudi-Russian price war as well, we're in an even worse situation with the supply glut. So no, the Liberal government has done nothing to support the energy sector. It's been the opposite. My understanding of this program that they're offering for large business bailout, you know, the quiet murmurings among the patch is that nobody's going to be eligible for this. that the government, because the government is directly selecting recipients through the Ministry of Industry, that they won't be selected. And the orphan well announcement, it was a joke in terms of dealing with the crisis that we're in right now. So, you know, partisan words, but I don't think that there anything that anybody in Alberta would disagree with in terms of the reality of the situation.
We got to leave it on that sour note.
Sorry, guys.
Well, you, probably haven't said anything that most Albertans are feeling right now. Michelle, thank you for joining us again. We appreciate you taking some time with us.
Thanks for having me.
Been joined by Michelle Rempel-Garner. She's a member of Parliament, PC, Calgary Nose Hill. Okay, my friend, we've got to figure out what, you know, people are going to be retired for 20, 30 years. So we got a long way to go, and people have to get through that period of time and fund that lifestyle they want. And we have to talk about that.
Yeah, it's a rebuild of the economy at somewhere, but we don't even know what's going to happen. So how do you structure your portfolio?
Yeah.
How do you make sure you have cash flow and income? How do you reduce taxes when we anticipate taxes going up?
Mm-hmm.
These are all big issues, and we're going to address that on Tuesday, June 16th, 7 p.m. live online for our webinar. Now, you have to register, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Stick around after the break for the most common question that Faisal and I have been asked over the past week. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.